this episode of Nurturing Wellbeing with Kurt Kelly, we're going to continue our conversation about lived experience. Parents who are trying to engage in their children's lives, what they've learned, how they dealt with issues. And so we're going to have with us Greg Hill. Greg is an incredible young man that has gone through some experiences himself, and he wants to share it with many folks about how men and women can continue to be engaged in their children's lives. With that, I hope you enjoy this episode. Greg, welcome. Thank you for being here today. I first of all, appreciate you coming up. Let's talk a little bit about your organization. Mm-hmm. Tell us about first of all, what it does, and then how did you get it started?
The organization started from a lived experience, for sure. My personal situation started. My son was conceived in the state of New Jersey. And 3 weeks before he was born, mom moved down to Florida and attempted to restrict all access for my son to have access to me. And so I actually went through the process originally, went through that mediation process, and came out of that process deemed to pay $1,141 a month for a son that had no access to me.
All right. So let me stop here and say, so when you found out about your son being that hadn't been born yet, was correct, going to be born, and you wanted correct to have, you wanted to be a part of his life.
Correct.
Now you and the mother were not together.
Correct.
But you still wanted to be involved with his life.
And absolutely,
the first thing the mediator says is, good, we don't give you access, but we'll give you a bill for $1,100 a month.
Absolutely right. So yeah, the actual agenda and the actual, you know, opportunity was to make sure that my son was able to have access to me, because I really do believe that the child needs to have access to both parents to come up and be a whole child and have the actual access and resources that child needs to have the lived experience that child is going to need as an adult. So yes, I went through the mediation process originally, and I came out of that process, you know, again with $1,141 a month and no overnights to the child. So from there, I began to go through my own state of depression and feeling down on myself and feeling as if I had failed my son as a father. So it took me about 3 months to say, hey, you know, if I'm going to fight this process, if I'm going to fight this battle, I'm going to do it my way. So I went ahead and alleviated all the actual representation that I had. And then I went back and read any and every documentation that I could on protecting my child's right to have access to me that was provided by the state of Florida. So I went and learned about different things like the VDOP, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But all the documentation and things that was needed for my son to have access to me, I went and read everything that I could, and then I went back to the courts and tried the process again. So the second time around, I came out with the process, and I fought for myself going pro se. Second time around, I came out with 50-50 access to my son, and now I'm paying $124 a month. Well, a son that has 50-50 access to me.
And it's not about the money. We've talked about that. What it's about is having you being able to engage in your son's life.
Absolutely.
And being able to have a real influence in that life. You know, as we were chatting earlier today and we were talking about this, it almost seems like a system that has been established. And I understand why the courts may come to these conclusions, or even mediators sometimes, but it seems like there was a system that was set up against even when a man wants to get involved in his children's life, mm-hmm, or his child's life, that wasn't even allowed to. And I think that's what you were telling me. It sort of seemed like that's what happened.
Absolutely.
And now that you, let's say now let's move on to the point where you now are going to have 50-50 opportunity to spend some time in your child's life and so forth. What did that experience, as obviously you're with your child. Let's talk about that. How's that going? Mm-hmm.
It's going wonderful at this point in time. You know, he's a good son, you know, the best son that I could have. I couldn't ask for more, but it was very important to go ahead and make sure that my son had that access to me. And so I was able to do that by writing down the process that I wrote in my book. And I have the book titled Our Children Have Rights. It's on Amazon. You can go ahead and pick that up. And this is for the parents who want to protect their child's right to have access to them and may not know where to start. You may not have the education and the information that is needed to protect your child's right to have access to you. So it's very imperative that we actually go and educate ourselves, so now we can hold everybody else in. And so let's say we hold, you know, the actual lawyers, the mediators, the judges, everybody, we want to hold them accountable by using this education and this information that we have actually had access to.
And this book that you've mentioned is out of your experience. It's a how-to book, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, it's a blueprint mm-hmm. that if you want to have access to your child, that there's a process you need to go through. And by the way, when you go through this process, it seems to me that that would show the courts that you're serious and mm-hmm. that you're responsible mm-hmm. to be able to, and you would be able to show them that because of you taking these actions that you would be at the right time of your life to be in your child's mm-hmm. life.
So what I normally tell my parents are, you know, you want to paint a picture and you want to use this information and that education as a paintbrush. So you want to go into the courtroom looking as if you are accountable. You want to make sure you have your documentation correct. You want to make sure you understand that documentation and you want to understand the verbiage of the laws. So when you go in, you sound and you're appearing as if you're accountable. You've done the work to actually make sure your child has the access to you, and you won't settle for anything less. But you have to go through the process of understanding your rights and understanding the information that is needed to protect your child's right to have access to you as a parent.
Let's talk about how now you've started this organization. Our children have rights. Mm-hmm. You've got a website that people can go to and can find more information on how to get a hold of you and your organization. Let's see how many folks are actually engaging with you right now.
Well, as of now, since last year, we started this early last year in January. We've been able to have over 700,000 people come to our website, and I've personally have helped over 540 parents protect their children's right to have access to them. It's a very needed process in our community. Again, you know, wrote the book. And the book really, the premise of the book was, you know, it's a conversation with myself, right? So I wrote down a process, and that process helped me protect my child's right to have access to me. And so what I wanted to do was go ahead and make sure that everybody was educated on this information. So I wrote it down, wrote it in a book, and I wrote it, and I wanted it to be a pocket guide, well, especially as parents who want to be accountable. So now you have a guide, a short read, where you can go and read up on a lot of the information that you need to protect your child's right to have access to you. So it's a very informative book. It's really short. It's not a hard read. It's direct and to the point. And it's a lot of information that parents need for these children to make sure that we protect our children's right to have access to us.
You know, as we work with the across the state in the child welfare arena, the reason we even mention the word nurturing well-being mm-hmm. is that while we want to have a great system of care, we want to, when the child needs to, because of they're either in danger or they're neglected and so forth, mm-hmm. and they will come into our system of care, we never intend to keep them in that system of care.
Right.
Our intention is to put them back with the families. Mm-hmm. And we believe that when you can bring the mother and the father back into an environment where they are being able to provide and to nurture that child, mm-hmm. that's the right environment. So that's Absolutely. Why this conversation I think it's so important. We've seen that across the state, whenever we're able to do that, mm-hmm. we have usually better outcomes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so that's really important. Listen, the state, we do a great job of taking these children when they come into our system of care. We have great foster mm-hmm. families, great residential care organizations that really try to meet their need. But mm-hmm. everybody's goal is to try to get them back to their family, if that's mm-hmm. possible. Mm-hmm. And what you've said here is, I'm going to bring the other parent involved. It's just right. going to be mom all the time.
Right.
It's going to be, it'll be mom and dad, and they're going to have a way of being able to engage in their life.
Absolutely right. So our process really, it's really about accountability and not, you know, after the child is born, be accountable. You know, you can do a lot of these things before the child is born.
All right, let's talk about that.
So the idea is to educate both parents on how you protect that child's rights before the child is born. So once the child is born, you have everything in place to be a successful co-parent. So the idea is to make sure that the father and the mother are educated. So especially in the father's point of view, because a lot of the times, you know, we as fathers, we don't have a lot of input when the child is from, you know, birth to maybe 8 months. There's not a whole lot that we can do, but the fathers have to be educated on the process so they're not going into the situation where they're losing their mental health or, you know, they understand their documentation and how they are important to the children. So it is imperative that we be proactive instead of reactive in terms of protecting these children and their rights to have access to both parents.
Sounds like to me there is a, and especially in the population that we're working with, that there's a real need for this. Mm-hmm. I hope that our lead agencies and many of our providers that provide this recognize that there's an organization out there that is really beginning to engage this. When Dr. Patricia Nellius first told me she had talked with you mm-hmm. and Jake and said, Kurt, you have got to talk to these guys. She goes, the lived experience concept mm-hmm. of someone that said, look, there was something here that I want to be involved in mm-hmm. my son's life. Mm-hmm. And I seemed to be completely blocked at all levels. Right. And then all I became was a paycheck type of mm-hmm. thing. Well, that almost becomes a barrier unto itself in a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is an awesome opportunity for us, even though that you and the mother are not going to be together. You have right. you have a wife now and a different situation, but that doesn't mean that you are not engaged and focused on the child's
correct.
Life.
And it's very important that, you know, we're both ready and willing and accountable for this child, because, you know, that child is going to need us both. And so that's why, you know, we have the three resources that we have for the nonprofit organization. So we have what we call our three pillars, which is education, because, you know, once you come to us, we want to make sure that you as a parent are educated on this information and educated on this process. You know, do you understand what an AOP or a VDOP is? Or do you, you know, understand some of the jargon that
I wish I understood what you just said.
So. Again, so, you know, the AOP is an acknowledgement of paternity. So for the parents who don't know or who are oblivious to the information or who are not privy to the information, when you go to the hospital has documentation that can help you establish paternity right there at the hospital.
Okay.
So if mom and dad agree that we are both unwed and we are the parents of this child, we sign that documentation. Now we both, that child has access and the rights to both of us. That's some of the education. That's an idea of some of the education that we put parents through to make sure they understand, you know, how to protect their children's right to have access to them. So education is, I'm going to say, is our main or our most important pillar. So we want to make sure you're educated first. And then we have the parents who may have some mental health issues. Let's say, you know, you're not all the way stable in your mind. Let's say you go into a courtroom and you want to fight, or, you know, you're fighting with mom. Or, you know, you're in the fight or flight process and in your mind at this point in time. We want to make sure that we work with that parent to explain what that parent can use as far as education to combat the fight or flight at this point in time. And then sometimes some of our parents may have some substance abuse issues that, you know, the courts want to make sure that they take care of before they have access to the children. So it's a lot of things that go into the mental health, but we want to make sure we guide and direct our parents to that mental health pillar so you can resolve that before you go into a courtroom.
By the way, the substance abuse issue in the removal of children mm-hmm. is one of the primary drivers
yes.
of why they will remove a child out of there. And anytime mm-hmm. we can address those things. So I agree with you on the mm-hmm. mental health stuff. There's some areas that I'm going to work with you on that mm-hmm. as well.
Great. Good. So now that you're educated and your mind is right, you're at your homeostasis. Now we want to make sure your documentation is correct. So we will look at your parenting plan if you have one. If you don't have one, we'll help you establish a parenting plan. And if you haven't gone through the courts for those, we'll help you file motions and write motions to go ahead and get those to adjudicated with the judge. So now your documentation is correct and you still may need some assistance. So you're educated, your mind is right, your documentation is correct. You may not think you are, you know, you may not be able to go into the courtroom and hold everyone accountable. So now that you understand the information, we want to help you get legal representation. So now when you go into that courtroom, you're educated, your mind is right, your documentation is correct, you have representation going into the courtroom. So now there's no reason to not go into the courtroom and hold everyone accountable and protect that child's right to have access to you as a parent.
And the focus then is?
The child. All the other barriers have been negated. Let's go in and make sure we protect that child's right to have access to both parents, because that child needs us.
Well, let me tell you this, Greg. Dr. Nellius was right. You're not only are you excited and what you're trying to accomplish and what you're already accomplishing, I believe that you offer us an opportunity to, when done right, keep kids from coming into the system up here, what we call the deep end system, the more expensive, but also the deep end system. And we focus on the helping, nurturing and developing that child. What an incredible work that you're doing. I would call it a ministry, but it's a fantastic work. I know you have a great partner in this that you're working with, and folks all over the state. Thank you for coming up today. Let's do this. Give us your website again, and then let's give us the name of the book again.
All right. Absolutely. Again, my name is Greg Red Hill. I'm the CEO and the co-founder of Our Children Have Rights. I have my partner, who is also the COO, Jake Hornstein. And so you can reach us at ourchildrenhaverights.org or OCHR.org. And the book can be found if you go ahead and go to Amazon and just type in Our Children Have Rights. You can locate the book.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for coming up. Thank you for being a part of this. Look, we're gonna be working together on a lot of these things over the years to come. And again, thank you for having the courage of learning your lived experience and learning from it and then teaching others. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate you, brother.
And I'll go ahead and add to that. You know, I really do this because every time I help a child, I see my child in that child. So all these children are our children. All the villages have to work together to make sure we protect these children's right to have access to you. So every time I help a parent, I'm helping my child as well. So that's why we do what we do with Our Children Have Rights.
And it's what we do here at the Florida Coalition for Children. Thank you so much. Thank you, brother. Look forward to spending some more time with you.
Thank you.
God bless. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Nurturing Wellbeing with Kurt Kelly. I brought Greg Hill in here. He has an incredible work. I called it a ministry. Our Children Have Rights is the name of it. You can reach out and get a copy of his book. We just think that the work that he's doing is so important to the state of Florida. We're so glad that you joined us for another episode of Nurturing Wellbeing.
Listen and subscribe to Nurturing Wellbeing with Kurt Kelly for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. Thanks to your support, we can continue to engage with those who serve the children of Florida and continue our mission to support Florida families.